The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
Huh, and we're back finally.
Yeah, we are.
We're back live.
Doing it live.
And this week we've got a little bit of a hodgepodge, a potpourri, so to speak.
Yes.
We've had quite a few reruns recently, but doesn't mean we had enough time during that time to actually, you know, focus and fixate on one topic.
Right. We will next week.
Yes.
Yes, we're back on track with watching, getting caught up on stuff next week.
Yes.
But this week, it's mostly newer stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Do you recognize the theme song at all? The theme that I started out the show with?
I do.
It is the...
It's the Pokemon theme.
It is the Pokemon theme. And that's because we went and saw Detective Pikachu.
Oh my God, so adorable.
Yeah.
All right, so... I mean, I guess I could say I'm a little behind because I was never into Pokemon.
Sure.
Like, I still don't fully understand what it is. I never got into the Pokemon Go craze of a couple years ago. Just nothing. My entire knowledge of Pokemon mostly comes from you.
Uh-huh.
And we don't talk about it all that much, but your brother is a really big fan.
Huge fan.
And so a couple of years ago, we went and saw an animated movie in the theater. Did it have a subtitle?
It's one of the many that they've made.
It was an
gold.
Origin story of Ash getting Pikachu, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's necessarily the first movie either.
Right.
I don't know.
All I know is I watched that, and again, didn't really get it, but thought it was a cute movie. But when I saw the trailer for this one, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to see this movie because it looks ridiculously adorable. I mean, Pikachu is just the cutest little thing in the world, and it's voiced by Ryan Reynolds. How can you go wrong?
Yeah. Well... So you asked that, and your answer is, well, they can't. So it was good.
Right.
We liked it. My biggest thing that I liked about it, actually, was the fact that it wasn't an origin story.
No, it did not explain Pokemon at all. It just threw you into the world and said, if you don't get it, too bad.
Yeah, pretty much. And what's really great is that with most of these movies where they use big special effects to show, you know, creatures or whatever, you don't get them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla is a great example of that.
Right.
It's, we're going to give you a 2-hour movie. The first 90 minutes is lead up and build up where we show you a toenail of Godzilla. We show you the tip of the tail. We show you like a building that's been destroyed by him and maybe a little bit of his little spikes in the back or whatever from in the distance. And then all of a sudden, with 30 minutes left in the movie, we show you one big battle and then for about 12 minutes, and then it's like another 10, 15, 20 minutes of them all discussing about the aftermath or something.
Right.
Like you don't get, like, whenever they have to do special effects with creatures, you don't get to see very many of them.
Mm-hmm. No, you see these guys right off the bat.
Right off the bat. And what's really great about this is that it's also, it's like any other story. Like, if this could have been a story not using Pokemon.
Uh-huh, yeah. Because they weren't the main focus of the story. I mean, yeah, Detective Pikachu was a main character, but... The fact that he was a Pokemon wasn't really that important. It could have just been any kind of mystery detective movie.
It's like in the same way that Zootopia is kind of that way. Like, it's a story that is all about animals that are in human situations, but if you were to just put human actors in that same story, it would have worked.
Yeah.
Same thing with this Pokemon. It was a mystery that had... This world just had Pokemon. Like, it was just a normal, average fact. Like, there was nothing fantastic about the fact that Pokemon were really there.
Yeah. I mean, the closest it got was that they did have a Pokemon battle, but it could have been an underground boxing ring. Like, it wasn't... It wasn't Pokemon-specific. But I thought the animation was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of these Pokemon, which are designed by R.J. Palmer. He's just this independent artist who created these realistic-looking Pokemon. And so the production designer found him and made him a consultant on the movie. so that they could use his designs because the only one they're looked, really cool.
Yeah, they all looked like cartoon specific, like you could identify them. They all looked like just polished up high definition versions of the cartoon,
mm-hmm.
except for Gengar. He looked weird.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
It's the purple one, the purple ghost monster one. But he looked weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like something was definitely off with his design.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, like the Charizard and all those, are like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of the movie, hands down, was the small scene in the middle with Mr. Mime.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, the funniest part of that movie.
Mr. Mime is a good improv player.
Yeah. Yes. He sets his environment and he remembers it and he builds it.
I also got a kick out of the little, I guess you could call it an Easter egg, when the main character, Tim, goes to the apartment of his dad. His dad is missing, and that's kind of the catalyst of the story. There's a movie playing, and it's a detective movie, and he turns it off, and he's like, ah, him with his old detective movies. And it's the movie from Home Alone, which is not a real movie.
Angels with Filthy Souls.
Yeah, Angels with Filthy Souls. It was a movie specifically made
for Home Alone.
For Home Alone. And they played it in this movie, and I just thought that was just the funniest thing ever. And actually, in the credits, it says, you know, footage of Home Alone, courtesy of Columbia or whoever has the rights to it. But I just thought that was hilarious.
Yes, and we stayed through the credits.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any.
There was no post credit.
So if you're gonna see this movie, which we recommend you do, it was fun.
Absolutely, it was really fun. I've heard some kind of mixed reviews on it,
mm-hmm.
but I really enjoyed it.
There's definite flaws.
Oh well, there is with most movies.
Yeah. the one part that really bugged me was that. I won't say why, but Pikachu falls out of a skyscraper window.
Mm-hmm.
And he's falling full speed, and he lands. He's saved at the last minute.
He saved it.
Yeah, he doesn't go splat.
But he's still on the ground.
But he gets there. He saved it literally the last second by, like, one of those psychic things where it, like, cushions him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets there all the way to the bottom. The guy, his partner, who was at the window when he fell, arrives down there to pick him up. Like, less than 7 seconds later,
mm-hmm.
we're like, okay, he's falling full force out the window, but yet you got there 7 seconds later using the elevator?
Maybe he took the stairs, and maybe he's the Flash.
That would be the only explanation for that, because that was a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds minor, and no one else will point that out, but I'm just sitting there going, wait, what?
No, you're not the only person to point that out. I saw that online a couple times.
Okay.
No, but one of the trivias on it is that the day before the film's release, the entire movie was quote unquote leaked onto YouTube. But in reality, clicking on the video would play a minute of the film before cutting to a loop of Pikachu dancing for an hour and 45 minutes.
That's awesome.
I kind of want to see the leaked footage.
That's hilarious. The movie is actually, though, very good. Very fun. And like I said, it doesn't set you up with a bunch of exposition,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's good actors in it. Aside from Ryan Reynolds voicing Pikachu, there's also Bill Nighy.
Oh, he's great. He's great in everything.
The guy who plays his son, I don't know his name, but he's like the British guy in a lot of stuff. He's the British nerd in a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Ken Watanabe.
Mm-hmm.
There's definite good actors in this too. So this
Chris Gere.
Okay, yeah. But this plays off really well. This is a very well-acted movie, very well-produced.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. You just sit there. Like, is it going to win any awards? I don't think so.
No.
Is it going to change your life? No. Are you going to sit there and enjoy it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that cute, adorable Pikachu face with Ryan Reynolds' voice. Great.
And there, I mean, this movie has spawned a toy that I am trying to get myself to not want. It's a life-size Pikachu.
Sure, sure.
I mean, I guess if Pikachu was real life, it would be life-size. And you press his paw and he talks, but he talks in Pokemon. So it's just Pika, 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 Pikachu. And when you push his tummy and then his paw again, then he talks as Ryan Reynolds. And his little ears move, and it's just adorable.
So this leads me to, I keep wanting to tell our friends and I keep forgetting to, but I figure, hey, why not just say it on our own radio show?
There you go.
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
That, well, because all of the Pokemon when they speak, or most of them, there's a few exceptions, but when most of them speak, they only speak their own name.
Right.
It's Pika. Pikachu.
Pikachu.
You know,
Pikachu.
Yeah. You know, Squirtle, all these other, you know. I think that Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy may be a Pokemon.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, does it matter that he says, "I am," before Groot? He doesn't just say Groot.
No.
Okay.
Because there's some that don't get to talk at all, so maybe he gets next. Word or two. Yeah. Groot. I am Groot. So I think Groot may be a Pokemon.
I think you're onto something.
Well, they are announced that they're going to be starting a, or they're thinking about it. I don't know if they are actually going to go through with it, but the plan is a Pokemon cinematic universe.
Why? That just doesn't seem necessary.
Well.
I mean, this movie was awesome. I loved it, but...
Well, the premise of this movie, they got a lot of Pokemon in there, but they didn't even touch the surface of all the characters. And there was this... So the premise of this is that there is this purple gas on there, in there, that has its chemical R or something.
It's pretty much Zootopia, because it makes the Pokemon go wild.
Right. So, yeah, we bring it right back around to Zootopia. And so... They're trying to figure out also why this is happening. But the R, it was brought up that could it be for Team Rocket, which Team Rocket never shows up
right. In
this movie. So so if they did a cinematic universe, there may be like the actual Pokemon characters, like, you know, Ash Ketchum and you know, the Team Rocket. And honestly, I'd love to see a Meowth. Like, that'd be great.
None of those things mean anything.
Team Rocket's Pokemon, their sidekick, is a Pokemon who is like the Siamese cat Meowth.
And he can talk, right?
He's like the only one that can talk, and he actually has like he's a third member, he's like a human. Like, all the other Pokemon can't really talk. That's why Pikachu talking like Ryan Reynolds was very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know he's annoying, but I really liked Psyduck.
Psyduck is super annoying in the cartoons.
Psyduck.
He was okay in this.
He's a duck. Yeah. He's just a big duck.
Well, he's like a platypus in a way, but he doesn't have the tail, right?
Yeah, no, he's a giant duck.
No, he's a duck, yeah.
And he's a giant duckling. Okay. Like, he looks like a baby duck, but just big. Uh-huh. And if he gets upset, he explodes.
Mm-hmm. He does like a
sonic wave.
Yeah, his brain waves explode. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him. I thought it was adorable. But I thought everybody in this movie was adorable.
It was fun.
Charmander.
It was fun.
It was
I liked
fun.
It was good. All right, so we are going to take a break.
All right.
And when we come back, we are going to discuss, some other things that we have been talking about lately.
All right.
Or that we've been thinking about or watching and we're getting caught up on.
Sounds good.
All right, so you are listening to We're a Little Behind. We'll be right back.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for Second Tuesday Dining.
That's great. So I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, June 11th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously agreed to donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. And before we move on, I did find one really cool fact about Detective Pikachu.
Okay.
So there's a scene early on in a cafe, and there's in the corner of the cafe, there's this guy with his kind of his head on the table like he's asleep, and sitting next to him is a Jigglypuff who is singing, because apparently that's what Jigglypuffs do.
Jigglypuffs sing and put you to sleep.
Okay. And that person asleep at the table is Phil Collins.
Nice.
Right?
There's something in the air tonight, I
there
suppose.
Is something in the air tonight.
All right. So I've left this music rolling because we are going to talk about a series finale that happened this last week.
Yes, we are.
And, I mean, if you weren't aware of what that was, you're probably just, I don't know who you are.
Right. I mean, a lot of people love this. It's had an impact on society.
Yeah. And as you can tell from this music, you probably think you know it. But it's not. It's actually this.
Ago, expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids,
math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Yeah.
So, Big Bang Theory had a series finale. It kind of got swept under the rug because the Game of Thrones had its finale this weekend, too.
So, Game of Thrones, we are behind on.
How many episodes were that? Because I can tell you, how many.
All of them.
Yeah, we're all of them behind.
We have never seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
So we are not going to be discussing that. Although I've heard to say mixed reviews is kind of an understatement. There's like, I think there's about 10 hatred for every one moderately okay.
Well, our good friend Chelsea Bailey, who appears on our show quite a bit, she is a huge Game of Thrones fan, and she said she was satisfied and unsatisfied. So
still not super positive.
Not super positive.
Because I have nothing but positive for the Big Bang Theory.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So the Big Bang Theory ended this week.
Oh, it was so good. It was a really after 12 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
12 seasons. And this show, I mean, they've actually shown that this show has had a huge impact on people. There's actually, it fostered interest in science and physics and particularly girls and women in science. And that's amazing.
Yeah, we need more of that.
And they had, you know, real scientists, real Nobel laureates guest star on their shows. And
they had Stephen Hawking before he passed.
They had Stephen freaking Hawking on their show. I mean, that's...
And he loved it. He was a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad to see it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a couple friends who don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to totally just call out
Kevin
on this right now. But I love it. I watched it since the beginning, mm-hmm. and I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And it's a Chuck Lorre production,
mm-hmm.
which it doesn't feel quite like the rest of Chuck Lorre.
Right, it doesn't.
Because I'm sorry, but Chuck Lorre's comedies are usually pretty hokey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, 2 and a Half Men
yeah.
was very, I mean, it's very just easy jokes, mm-hmm. crude jokes. And the Big Bang Theory felt, I mean, not only did they have smart writing and they had scientific writing, but it felt good. Like there, mm-hmm. like there was not a, it didn't feel like the rest of his stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even Dharma and Greg was a show that produced and it had its moments too.
And I loved Dharma and Greg. Like I can still remember the first promo I saw for that show. And I watched it, a lot. But towards the end, you didn't really care anymore. Like they got away from the core of the show. And you know, shows evolve and they change over time. But this show never lost its identity.
Yeah. And it changed and the characters evolved and mm-hmm. progressed, but they never really got away from the core.
Yeah.
Which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We were discussing this that I think the one character that was consistent the most from beginning to end was Leonard,
mm-hmm.
played by Jerry, is it Galecki?
Yeah. Johnny. Yeah.
Johnny Galecki. And he was consistent from start to, like, you can watch the first episode, you can watch the last episode, and there's not a lot of change. Like, mm-hmm. he got older, and, you know, stuff happens, but, like, he's the core, the same. Even Sheldon, the main one, has a bit of a change in his personality throughout the process. I mean, look at Raj, who couldn't talk at the beginning, now is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
The show itself, like, I think the one whose personality changed the most that I liked the least was Bernadette, because she was adorable when she started, and then Bernadette as a character, like, is just not.
Yeah, toward the end of the show, I did not like her character anymore. Like, she was mean, and she was vindictive, and early on, it was playful.
And she was sweet,
but then as soon as she got married and had kids, I was like, no, I'm over your character. You're nasty. Like, she's just vicious, and I didn't like it.
I love Mayim Bialik's Amy Farrah Fowler.
Oh, she was great. I'm so glad they added her to the cast.
And she started out as an exact, like, kind of copy of Sheldon.
Well, she was a female Sheldon.
And I love that they progressed her, that the more she hung out with normal people like Penny,
mm-hmm.
it rubbed off on her to where she was still herself, but that she evolved. She bloomed, so to speak. And you know, I think we've all done that with all of our friends. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're a certain way, and as you get older, your personality does change. And I don't think that was quite out of character, and I don't think it was like out of like, oh, it's because it's TV, they need to turn people. No, I think that was a natural progression of a change.
Mm-hmm.
But the show ended strong, and it ended,
it did.
And it didn't fade away, and it didn't outwear its welcome, the way some shows do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I work in TV and work in advertising, and, you know, I know ratings and stuff, and Big Bang Theory went out as the top show on at the time. Like, you know, it wasn't waning, it wasn't to where nobody watched it anymore, so it's time mm-hmm. to go. It was. And that's kind of what bigger shows do, like Friends, Seinfeld. They go out on top because the actors decide to leave, or mm-hmm. one of the actors decides to leave, and then the show ends. 2 and a Half Men is a prime example of when it should have ended.
Right.
The Office is another one. Mm-hmm. Steve Carell's gone. They probably should have.
Yeah. The Office is still at the top of my list for my all-time favorite TV shows, but it really grated on me the last few seasons. The last season, and especially the last episode, the last two episodes, brought it back around,
mm-hmm.
and I was okay again. But it was rough there for a little while. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really hate it when shows continue on after their main character leaves. Mm-hmm. Spin City, that 70s show.
Which is an ironic thing that it was that it's Charlie Sheen
entering
a show.
Yeah.
But then the other one was Charlie Sheen exiting the show.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. As soon as Michael J. Fox left that show, I lost interest.
Yeah.
I watched a couple episodes, but I'm like, you know what? The reason I watched that show to begin with is no longer there. And now you're bringing in this Charlie who? No. I don't want to watch that. And then that 70s show took place in Eric's basement. And so when he's no longer on the show, why are all these kids still hanging out in his basement?
Yeah.
Like, it was just annoying. But what I really liked about the Big Bang finale is that it was final, uh-huh, and it was satisfying, uh-huh, but it wasn't like their lives are over.
No.
It was just they achieved something, and so it made sense for the end of the story. But it didn't leave me thinking, oh, well, they're leaving this door open for, to come back, which they could.
Which they could.
But it didn't feel like that.
It didn't feel necessary.
Yeah. But it also wasn't, like the end of Friends, they moved out of the apartment.
Uh-huh.
Like, everybody was moving on, and they were separating, and that was, this ended with them all having dinner on the couch.
Like
they do at the beginning of every show,
yeah,
in the credits.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. I liked that, okay, so their lives will continue, it's just that the filming part is done.
Yeah, and there was a very sweet moment towards the end, of character growth, that felt final, but in a really sweet way.
Mm-hmm.
And I teared up quite a bit at that, because mm-hmm, it was just right.
Yeah.
Like, it was in character for the right moments. It was just, yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
And, Young Sheldon,
which airs after it,
they kind of tied into the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a really good, that their season finale was a really good kind of like
bridge,
yeah, a little tie in to the series finale of Big Bang Theory. So if you watch that whole night, it was a very, very fun and positive, mm-hmm, thing to watch.
Yeah, young Sheldon, we don't watch every episode, we don't watch it consistently, but we have watched it,
mm-hmm,
and I've really enjoyed it. I was a little apprehensive of it at first when they were just announcing it, but really it's closer to the Wonder Years than it is Big Bang Theory,
mm-hmm,
in its style, in its delivery, in its form.
Well, I love that his mom on the show is played by the daughter of Laurie Metcalf's real-life daughter, who,
yeah,
plays his mom when she's older.
Yeah, and so she looks just like her.
Sounds like her, yeah.
Sounds like her.
She has a good Laurie Metcalf impression.
Yeah.
So it's a great show.
But it's not a multi-camera,
mm-hmm,
live in front of a studio audience. That's not this kind of show.
Right.
So it really, and there's the voiceover by,
very much the Wonder Years.
Yeah, by Jim Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to compare it too closely to Wonder Years, because it's not that iconic. It's not as serious. Yeah, it doesn't delve deep into it.
The Wonder Years was super serious, where this is, it's real.
Yeah.
Like, it's humor is not from a sitcom perspective. Like,
right.
The Big Bang Theory's humor is from a sitcom perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This is more slice of life type of humor.
Yeah. And it's really good. And their handling of their season finale was so touching.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't usually go that closely to Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really talk about the other characters. It's just Sheldon, and he's what is he, 10?
I think so.
And he's in high school, and his day-to-day life and him being his weird little self. But the end of it was just so touching, and so it was a really enjoyable night of finale. It was really nice,
yeah,
to have a good finale that felt
it ended
good.
Well. So, mm-hmm, if all your thoughts were about Game of Thrones and it wasn't about Big Bang Theory, I feel like you missed out.
Absolutely.
That's my theory on that. All right, so we are going to take a break, and we will be right back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for State Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Kunda for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are going to discuss something that, you know, it's it holds a little special place in our heart because there's a lot of people that we know that are in it.
Yeah.
So there's a movie that's been released recently called The Dragon Unleashed, and it is made by a filmmaker who does a lot of films in the Reading area. His name is Rene Perez, and he's kind of a jack of all trades on these movies, right? Like he's he's the writer, he's the director, produces it, and like with most people, kind of like a Neil Breen or a Tommy Wiseau, probably did the craft services himself too. but you know he makes these movies that are that are done here locally in Reading. Most of them are made like in the Reading area.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're pretty big overseas.
Yeah, they're like I'm pretty sure they're like big in like what like Germany.
Yeah.
And yeah, here they're like direct to video type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't really have like you know cinematic releases, but they make these movies. He makes these movies and he releases them. But they're big in overseas. Kind of like how David Hasselhoff is huge in Germany.
Right.
Like you know there's things for certain taste in other areas, and this is definitely one of those things. Mm-hmm. The movie's called The Dragon Unleashed, and it's about a government operative who is he's an assassin, and he's pretty much just trained to murder for political reasons, is what I gather from that.
So let me read you a quick summary.
Okay, that would help.
A martial artist trained by the military to become an assassin begins to question himself after killing someone who didn't deserve to die. He now must face not only his demons, but his former boss and his goons by using a combination of firepower and his martial arts prowess.
Okay, so there you go. In this movie, there is a lot of people that we know.
Yes.
Personal friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Those include, it was funny to watch the movie because we didn't know where they're going to show up. We didn't know how many of them were going to show up. But, we started off, there's, Matt McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
He's right at the beginning of the movie. He's, going to be directing.
I'm pretty sure he's the person who was killed who didn't deserve it.
Right. He's going to be directing, the play in the fall at Riverfront Playhouse, Frankenstein.
Yes.
But so it was Matt McDonald, another actor in the community theater, Bob Koraluk, who, if you have any knowledge of anything in community theater in this town, Bob Koraluk's a name you would recognize.
Mm-hmm.
A personal friend of ours who, we would consider our surrogate grandmother, Lynn Regan.
Yes.
She was in that. And our, to quote a character I played, a close personal friend, Mallory Glavin was in it.
Yes.
So there's people that we knew that were all in it. And then there's people that we recognize from being, you know, I'll use the air quotes over the radio, Hollywood famous.
Mm-hmm.
John Snyder, for those of you who know, he's one of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Mm-hmm.
For people who recognize the Dukes of Hazzard from the 70s, John Snyder. For those of
he
you
was
who.
Bo.
Yeah, so Bo Duke. So if you were to go, if you're a little bit younger, maybe around our age, you might know him as Jonathan Kent from TV Smallville. He was Clark's dad on the show. And for anyone maybe super recently who might be into black entertainment television, he is on Tyler Perry's TV show, The Haves and Have Nots. It's like a soap opera.
Right.
So John Snyder's in it.
He's got a lot in production. John Snyder.
Oh, yeah?
He's got quite a bit of things on his filmography that are in post, pre, or filming.
Nice.
So he's a busy man.
He is a busy guy. And so I from watching this, I believe that he was so busy that they filmed him separately.
Yeah, he was never on screen at the same time as anybody else.
Yeah. So, I mean, the editor of this movie does a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Because considering that you, like, from people like us who watch a lot of movies, obviously, we can tell these things. And, yes, John Snyder was obviously filmed separately and put together. I'm assuming because, as you said, he's a very busy guy and his timing probably worked out that way to where they were like, hey, we can get John Snyder, let's put him in this movie, but we can only film on certain days. So, yeah, he was never in a shot with anyone else.
Right.
But the editor does a good job of directing you away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably I was just fixating on that. Like, I was, you know, trying to be a little critical, so to speak, I guess would be a good word. You know, trying to, you know, critical eye.
We're critics.
And
we have our own radio show where we talk about movies and TV shows.
Yeah, so critical. but there was, the camera work, like the actual footage. It's very good graphics.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking today with the director, Rene Perez, via Facebook Messenger. We were discussing, and he said that it's best seen in the highest quality, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But Blu-ray preferably, because I was asking where you can see these, and apparently there's you can get them on Blu-ray, but there's like streaming services too. You can get it on Vudu. What are some of the other ones? Do you
can get it on iTunes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Prime.
Ooh.
Amazon Prime and Google Play.
So all the big heavy hitter streamers.
Redbox On Demand.
Ooh.
Fandango Now.
No.
Yeah.
So all those So I mean, if you recognize any of the names that we talked about, this is fun just to watch that.
And you can also recognize locations.
Yeah.
I mean, the Reading Airport is in this.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Mac Davis.
Mac Davis
is in it. Yeah. So we saw him. You can recognize the Reading Airport immediately,
because mm-hmm.
It was filmed around Reading. But he said, because I asked him, well, where was the shot? Some of it felt like Mount Shasta, and as it turns out, I was just headed the wrong direction, but about as far off. It was Igo.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. So if you know the Igo area, you might recognize some of the places in there.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there was a few shots taken in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. I'm betting those were more the industrial shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about firepower. There was a lot of fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
I'd
say a big majority of the movie was fight scenes.
I'm pretty sure the one in the water was done in the Sacramento River over here.
Mm-hmm.
That looked familiar.
Yeah, there was stream fight scenes. There was water fight scenes. There was industrial fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of fight scenes.
Yeah.
It seemed a little excessive.
Sure.
In the fight scenes, but yeah, like you said, it's very well put together.
Yeah. The assassin guy, the lead character is
Chase Bloomquist.
He has a mask that he wears, and it's really cool. So I was like, oh, is this like? So I was asking him today if that was a costume. You know, like, did he have a costumer that worked on that? That worked on maybe other things that we might have seen. Like, who knows? Maybe this person was, you know, doing the Deadpool costume or the or the Deadshot costume from Suicide Squad. Because it's very similar.
It is very similar.
And he said that, nope, he just bought all the pieces. So you too could make a movie reminiscent if you follow the Rene Perez school of shopping.
But yeah, I mean, for an independent film,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was put together very well. It's like I said, beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the camera work it had as much lens flare as J.J. Abrams.
It really did.
Yeah. So there's that. Other than that, like it's definitely something to, like I said, if you recognize any of those names, it's fun just to watch for that. Cause he's done other movies around this area too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the title, but I remember it had, Lisa Collins, had John Welsh, who's been on this show before. It had, quite a few people that we know that are in it.
Yeah. He did, Snow Queen was one of his more recent ones. Let's see, The Dead and the Damned.
That might have been it.
Yeah. Alien Showdown, The Day the Old West Stood Still.
Yeah. So he definitely has a unique storytelling
mm-hmm.
strategy, too.
Playing with Dolls, which has sequels.
Oh.
There's Playing with Dolls, Bloodlust, and Playing with Dolls, Havoc.
Huh. I'm morbidly curious what that's about. He's definitely, yeah, like, it's, you know, cowboys versus aliens type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he has an IMDb page and mm-hmm. entries, and the earliest...
We will link to that.
The earliest director credit is from 2010, which was War Machine.
Okay.
So he's been doing quite a bit, a lot here. Between 2015 and 2018 is the majority of his movies. So he's been a busy man himself.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to support local filmmaking, go rent this movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, like kind of like I said about Pokemon, is it probably going to, you know, is it going to win any Oscars? No, you know, it's probably not part of the Academy. So, so it's probably not going to be up for an Oscar. But, you know, maybe you might know some of these people and you might want to see them in a film, you know, absolutely. It's an interesting to see.
Yeah.
So, and John Snyder.
John Snyder.
Like,
there you go.
Like, we're playing 6 degrees of separation with people that we know and John Snyder.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure because of this movie, we can link us to Kevin Bacon.
Absolutely we can.
Yeah. So
we'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's because now because of this movie and John Snyder's in it, boom.
Boom.
We're now linked to Kevin Bacon.
We should be within 6 degrees.
We were like at least 11 off before. now we're right within that game.
All right.
All right. So the movie is called Dragon Unleashed, and like I said, you can find it on Vudu and iTunes, right? Apple's, Google Play,
iTunes.
All those.
Yep.
So, Redbox on demand, Amazon Prime. So take a gander.
Yeah.
It was just released recently, last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 week from this past, from today.
Yep.
So, check it out. So we are going to take a break, and you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Memorial Day is May 27th, a day set aside to honor those who've gone before us and given their lives for their country. I'm Rob Burrows reminding you about the special programs this Memorial Day. Starting at 10 a.m. at the Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street in Reading, Memorial Program with refreshments. Also starting at 11 a.m. is the Memorial Day service at Anderson at the Anderson Cemetery, hosted by the Anderson VFW Post 9650. Followed by an evening program at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, beginning at 5:55 p.m. with a flyover. It's recommended you get to these events early because parking fills up fast. For more information, you can call the Igo Veterans Cemetery at 530-396-2447. 530-396-2447.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you know what? It's my time to talk.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw recently that you did not get to see. Because
right.
you were working here in Chico, and I was all by myself, home alone. Nothing to do but watch some Netflix. And, of course, me and my time travel movies that I love so much, I found one that was brand new, and it was called See You Tomorrow.
And what's it about?
It is about time travel. But it's about – so it's produced by Spike Lee, and it's very apparent because it is about these two black students who are trying to – work on time travel because they want to be able to go to any college they want. And the girl's brother ends up getting shot by police. That's very timely. It was produced by Spike Lee, and I'm like, and that's where it's very apparent. It's very real. Like, it's this the interesting thing about this movie is that it has a very real under base, like the base of the story is very real. Like all the characters react. I mean, it's an R-rated movie, so there's a lot of cursing in it and everything. But the parts that are like time travel and are fantastic, like they're very sci-fi-y in a way. And it shouldn't blend well, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
It has a rather unsatisfying ending because it's very ambiguous. But the whole movie is worth to watch for the shocking cameo right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what, so if you go check out on Netflix, it's a movie called See You Tomorrow, and it's about time travel. And
wouldn't it be a better title to call it See You Yesterday?
I'm sorry. That's exactly what the title is.
Oh, okay.
See You Yesterday. Is that what it's? Yeah.
I don't know. You're the one that watched it.
I know. I was more impressed by the cameo. I'm just telling you.
It's See You Yesterday.
See You Yesterday. Okay. So when we are put this on our website, we'll have the right title.
Yes.
It is See You Yesterday because that is and of course it has the Peter Griffin moment in there. Oh, he said it.
Nice.
Because the title is mentioned. So, yeah, if you get the opportunity, it's only an hour and a half. Just, I'd say it's worth a watch. It's very interesting. It's a classic kind of time travel movie. Like, you know, there's definite questions and plot holes. And
you are a sucker for time travel.
I am. Like, if it's a time travel movie, I'm all about it. I'm willing to give you a shot. So, see the movie See You Tomorrow.
Yesterday.
See You Yesterday. I wish I had a time machine that I can go back and just keep fixing every time I make this mistake. So on Netflix, see the movie called See You Yesterday.
Yes.
Because it's they can't travel to just any time. The amount of time that they go back depends on the amount of energy that they have in the machine.
Oh,
so it's very limited. That's why it's See You Yesterday. They only get to go back. They start out only being able to go back a day, but then they try working on the machines to go back a little bit further. And I think the furthest they get is like 1 week.
That's cool.
Yeah. So they can't just go back to any time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very finite because the longer the travel, the bigger the amount of energy they exert from the machine.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So before we go, fun fact.
Okay.
You and I know all those people who were in The Dragon Unleashed.
Sure.
With John Snyder, who was in Flag of My Father with William Devane, who was in Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon.
Boom, done. Yeah, that's like, what, four?
Yeah.
4 degrees of separation?
4 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
So, yep. All right. So next week, our plan is, and we're gonna cross our fingers if we get this, we're going to do Shakespeare stuff.
Yes.
So we're going to watch Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to watch the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet, and we're going to really try to get through Much Ado About Nothing that has Nathan Fillion and
Clark Gregg,
the Joss Whedon directed one. So we're going to try to get through that because we're going to be talking, hopefully with your cast too, about the show that you have directed, that you, the reason why we've been in rerun so much, which is The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. And which is running through June 15th.
At Riverfront Playhouse. Get your tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net. This is a fabulous show. I'm not just saying that because I directed it. It is a funny, funny show.
Yes. Well, we are running out of time, so we will catch you next week. You are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.